T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Come on, guys. Early worm gets the worm.
Another worm? Like, are they friends?
This early bird gets the worm.
With Dusty Hera.
That kid probably needs to be punched in the face.
In an ideal world, I would have all 10 fingers on my left hand, so my right hand could just be a fist for punching.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Who wants some man meat?
I do. I want some man meat.
No, I'm not a meat gazer.
Dusty and Cam on 1080.
He's like the Lone Ranger, and I'm like Tonto. And it's not like there was the Lone Ranger and Tonto and Bonto.
The Fan.
All right, hour number 3. Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland with you. Getting ready for the Herd with Colin Cowherd at 9 a.m. Coming up this hour, a hot take on Tiger Woods. We'll give you the audio of it. From Brandel Chambly. Also, in about 14 minutes from now, we will give you the goats of the AFC North. This is a tough division. Actually, one team is really tough to do. Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's a very tough choice in this, and so is Cincinnati. Cincinnati's a really tough one, in my mind. As part of our NFL Rapid Fire. Before we get going in this hour, though, I found this out. Kerry Eggers, formerly of the Portland Tribune, now retired. He has his website, kerryeggers.com. I saw that he tweeted out a farewell to the ultimate behind-the-scenes guy. This is a guy who he really was a behind-the-scenes man in the local Portland and Oregon sports community. Bob Gill passed away at the age of 83, and Kerry Eggers has a great write-up on him. Bob Gill is a guy that... He went to Jefferson High School. He was the quarterback at Jeff before Terry Baker was there. And he was just a guy that if you know the sports scene in Oregon as a whole, Bob Gill was always around. And he was a great sports historian. He cared deeply about sports in the state of Oregon, especially high school football. He was always around every big game and every big event, including, you know, the Les Schwab Tires Bowl, which is the Oregon High School Football All-Star Game. And he literally wrote the book on Mel Renfro. He wrote the biography of Mel Renfro, who went to Jefferson High School as well. And just want to send my condolences to the Gill family, because Bob is a one of a kind and a hell of a great man. And that man was a lockbox of knowledge for Oregon sports history. So rest in peace, Bob Gill, who is a huge part of our Oregon sports scene. Great man, really great man. All right, we do it every Thursday at this time. Let's get to it. Rapid fire.
You play to win the game.
It's the Steeler.
Decap Metcalf. Bow.
The offense was ripping.
It's my quarterback.
Playoffs.
That is 7-9. Bull.
Omaha! Omaha!
They are who we thought they were. All right, Mr. Cleland, are you ready?
I was born ready.
First one I'll start with. Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes. Who you taking?
Who am I taking?
Yeah. I didn't say it was going to be easy.
Over what period of time?
That's why, I mean, these are so many. Just taking what? Am I starting and what am I doing?
Who do you want your quarterback to be?
Man. That's as hard as it gets. Can I have them both?
No.
No? All right.
This is really taking the rapid out of the rapid fire. You're going Patty Mahomes.
Got a cheeseburger and went to bed.
Yeah. Mahomes me.
Those guys are
He's only 24. That's the only reason I can take 24. 24 over 30. Okay. That's it. That's the only separator for me.
Yep. I'd probably go with Patty as well. He's damn good, man. Both those guys are so damn good.
Yep.
All right, Raheem Mostert is demanding a trade
from the make you feel, Buck.
San Francisco 49ers.
Don't tell me you don't
plug
care.
Plug and play, baby.
Oh, see, I knew that. I could have written that statement down and played it on auto.
He was a special teamer. He led the team in rushing. Anybody can do it on this offense.
Oh, anybody can.
You know who I think
is... sound like a Seahawk.
You know what I think is the most hilarious part of all of this is people going, Kyle Shanahan's dad did it in Denver.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude. I mean, I don't want to see him go, but I don't think he's worth what he wants.
That's such...
Because his dad did it does not mean that Kyle Shanahan's offense will be the exact same.
That is a fan comment like there's no tomorrow.
But what should I say? Nothing. I mean, do you think Raheem Mostert is worth like a lot more than $3 million a year?
What? More than $3 million? I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, would you want to pay him that for your favorite team?
Is he healthy?
Yeah.
Then probably. Because if I was talking with my team, I like health. Guys that are reliable. And last time I checked, he was reliable and healthy.
He's already getting nearly $3 million bucks a year, though. How much more does he want?
I don't know. That's a good question. Fair all question.
Right or wrong, Raheem Mostert demanding a trade?
Well, if you don't want to be there, then get out. I mean, right.
Okay. I look at that. Is he going to find an offensive line that is as good as the one that they've got there in San Francisco? Where, yeah, they lose Trent Brown, but they bring in Trent Williams, Lincoln Tomlinson, Weston Richburg, Brunskill, and then Mike McGlinchey as your right tackle. I mean, that is a dominant offensive line.
Hey, Seattle.
I have a question for...
Hey, Seattle.
Do
hey,
a trade Seattle. Within the division, huh?
Hey, Seattle.
Little AFC East action.
I have a question for Cam here, because around the time this happened yesterday, I saw a tweet from Lee Steinberg, Patrick Mahomes' agent, who said... In NFL in general, the worst way for a player to facilitate a trade is to go public with the demand. Other teams know the player is unhappy and lowball in trade offers, and it puts the current team up against the wall.
I agree.
Should he have just not done this then, Mostert?
It depends on who went public with it.
It was his agent.
Okay. So who's his agent?
I don't know. Some guy named Tesla, I think.
There's a lot of bad agents out there.
Elon Musk.
It's not Lee Steinberg.
It's not Lee Steinberg. If it's not Lee Steinberg or the other powerful agents I would talk about, that understandable.
Brett Tesler.
I don't know who Brett Tesler is. So, yeah, I'm not quite sure. Not quite sure. Bad decision.
They got Jerick McKinnon, though. Tevin Coleman as backups.
Both injury prone.
Yes, they do. Their next running back is Jeff Wilson Jr. I've never heard the name Jeff Wilson Jr.
Give it to Kyle Juszczyk. Hand it there. You know what? You're going to get the San Francisco. I'm going to say you because I'm speaking to Buck here. That arrogance of just thinking that you can have anybody in a committee like that is going to be a downfall of the running game if you can't have one bell cow that can be healthy.
All right, here is a question for you. Do the Niners make a run to the Super Bowl without Raheem Mostert last year?
No. Because it's not plug and play.
He was signed as a special teamer. Just kind of kicked around the league and then
And
boom,
that's why they
popped.
Want to renegotiate is because his contract was based on his special teams contributions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which $2.5 million for a special teamer is actually a good deal.
Ask yourself this. Did he outplay his contract?
Yes.
Okay. So then it's fair for him to say, hey, man, I outplayed my contract. I want to be rewarded on what I was able to do. And we all want players to be productive. If you're good, if you're a salesperson, you want to be rewarded on your sales.
Doesn't this go
back? It's not a bad thing to say, hey, man, I want to raise because I was more productive than what my salary gave me. It's fair.
I wouldn't mind if he said, I want to raise, but he says, I want out.
You know what I do?
Well, I think that was after the fact that he said, I want to raise.
He's jumping because, like, I would think the next logical phase would be, okay, I'm not going to show up to camp, not... you need to get me out of here.
You know what I do know, though, is that an NFL franchise will cut you and kick you to the curb if you don't live up to your contract. But if you exceed the expectations of your contract, they will not be willing just to be like, oh, you're right, we'll give you more money.
Scottie Pippen, we will not renegotiate.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that was Scottie Pippen, for goodness sakes. All right, yesterday a report came out from ESPN's Adam Schefter that no Native American imagery or references will be in the new Washington football team name. What do you believe the new team name will
Warriors.
Be now? That would be down the line of references or imagery, wouldn't it?
I don't know. Is a Warrior Native American? Couldn't it be, I mean, is Golden State Warriors? Is that what it's referred to as?
It was.
I don't know. I don't, I'm asking the history of that.
A blue guy.
So couldn't it just, a warrior could be a warrior.
Could be the ultimate warrior.
You certainly could.
Dude, if you give me a team with the ultimate warrior on the side and each player, like on the sleeves where the cuffs are, it's little tassels hanging down like the ultimate warrior. Yeah, sign me up. Have a little like loincloth. Little tidy whities on their pants there. Give me Ultimate Warrior. I'm still going Red Tails.
Okay.
I hope they don't go Presidents. That would just be stupid.
Monuments?
The Monuments, even more. Because will each helmet have like a different monument? Who gets the Washington Monument? Who has the Lincoln Monument?
Well,
that just
means that we'll have more protesters want to take everything down anyway. So
there we go.
They're called the Monuments.
503-250-1080. We already have them coming in as part of our rapid fire. AFC North, your greatest players of all time in the AFC North. Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Baltimore, Cincinnati. Do not send multiples, folks. You got to pick one.
One.
You've got to pick one.
What are we doing right now?
And there's no wrong answers. All right, you've got to pick one. Also, we got some more rapid-fire questions before we get to our GOATs. If you have any, text them to us at 503-250-1080. This is Dusty and Cam on The Fan. All right, NFL rapid-fire continuing here on 1080 The Fan. I tried to look up Brett Tesler in his client list. I can't find anything on this guy. Don't you think an agent would want to be, like, found? He doesn't have a website. He claims he has negotiated over 500 NFL contracts over 20 years. That's all you can find on the guy. And his birthday is October 6th.
How old a guy is he?
No idea.
Oh. Sounds like he's old.
Yeah, might be. Might be. I don't know. But we continue our NFL rapid fire. Let's roll. Oh. All right. A columnist in Philly is asking for a suspension for DeSean Jackson. Should the Philadelphia Eagles suspend DeSean Jackson for his Instagram posts that he made about the Jewish community, where he quoted Adolf Hitler, and it was a fake quote by
Adolf Hitler. Saw that Julian Edelman came out today on Instagram, and Julian Edelman is Jewish, and he offered to take him to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. to educate and understand. So
that's pretty cool.
I don't have that answer, man. That sounds like a political dividing line that I don't want to get on. But what I do want to say is that it's up to the team's ability to educate and talk about it and have more information and be willing to say, hey, man, this was tone deaf, and do the best thing you can. Suspensions or all those things sound like a side to get on where I'm not. I just don't feel like it helps at all.
Well, yeah, and I feel
it doesn't help any situation right now.
I'm looking at it and going, all right, the Eagles will be able to judge his remorse and his willingness to actually learn, like he said he wants to do, and engage in the Jewish community in Philadelphia and beyond. And then you make a decision after that.
The NFL will end up weeding you out anyway. If you're not good enough and your contract is too expensive, they'll find a way to get rid of you no matter what you think. So at this point, maybe DeSean Jackson will understand that I went to Cal and maybe I should have gone to class a little bit more and learned about Hitler.
You could have gone to high school, too. You know?
Yeah.
Learned a lot about it there, too. All right.
Open up a book.
All right, here we go. Who's the best quarterback in the state of New York? Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones.
Man, I like Josh Allen right now. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Sam Darnold, but Sam Darnold played fantastically at the end of the year.
Yes, he did.
He really did. I like Josh Allen. It's really close. It's extremely close.
Yeah, it feels
between
like,
those two.
Yeah.
I like, you know, it's very good. It's close. It's close. I like Josh Allen. I do.
Because I
like Josh Allen.
I feel like a lot of people are sleeping on old Sammy Darnold there.
No, not sleeping on him. He's fair.
People forgot about him because he got the mono.
He won 7 games at the end of the season.
Yeah.
That's not sleeping.
Yeah, you said 7 of that. Well, no, people are sleeping on him because it's like they're forgetting.
Yeah.
He was good at the end of the year, but his team didn't make the playoffs.
No.
Josh Allen's did. And ipso facto.
I think Sam Darnold has more upside, but I like the way Josh Allen is playing within his system right now. I like it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Daniel Jones, he wasn't terrible last year either.
No. Jury's still out, though.
Very, very far out. Very far out. And it is, he gets another year or two as well because of the fact he's got Joe Judge.
Got a new coach this year.
Yeah. And Darnold, first year under Adam Gase, finished strong. Strong finish for those fellers in New York with the Jets. All right. It's time to do it. Our goats. We've gone through the NFC West, AFC West, and NFC North. Buck, we'll post the goats on the socials at some point. But last week in the NFC North, we were unanimous. Brett Favre for Green Bay, Randy Moss for Minnesota, Walter Payton for Chicago, and Barry Sanders for Detroit. Will we be unanimous this week? It is the AFC North.
Okay.
We shall start with the Cleveland Browns.
Bernie Kosar.
Good call. This one seems like the no-brainer.
Well, maybe.
Jim Brown? That seems like a no-brainer. He's one of the greatest football players of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And I never saw him live.
I never saw him live, so I'm going with just something that I can recognize.
Oh,
but my God,
he was amazing.
Jim Brown's amazing.
He was amazing.
No question. His name is Brown for the Browns.
That is true. Are you going? Was that a serious answer in Bernie Kosar?
Was it a serious answer?
Yeah. Because I don't know outside of Bernie Kosar. Are you going?
There isn't
Joe Thomas.
There isn't one.
That was the thing is I couldn't.
Could
think
be Joe
of
Thomas. Why wouldn't it be Joe Thomas?
Except for Joe Thomas. That was what I was thinking. I'm like, yeah. I mean, I agreed. You know, Jim Brown, but like, I didn't watch him play, yeah. So I can't.
No, my answer is Bernie Kosar. That's my answer.
Your answer is Bernie.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you say that with a. Isn't it just an opinion?
Yeah. No, there's no wrong answers here.
Okay. All right.
I just was not expecting Bernie to be one of our answers that we got here today. All right,
Don't put expectations out. Be pleasantly surprised.
Hey, you know what? There's no wrong answers here.
Okay.
There's no wrong answers.
You did start the segment with no wrong answers.
No wrong answers.
It sounded like you said that's a wrong answer.
Except for that one. That was a wrong answer.
Okay.
Baltimore Ravens.
Ray Lewis.
Yep.
But also coming in on the text line, Justin Tucker.
I mean, Trent Dilfer.
See, that's a small sample size you have there.
I mean, I'd put Ed Reed before Trent Dilfer for sure.
I agree with that.
I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. I agree it's Ray Lewis, but Ed Reed is not far behind.
No, he's not. No, he's
Tony
not.
Tony Saragusa.
The Goose. All right. Cincinnati Bengals.
Well,
dun, dun, dun.
Really depends on how you. But it's Boomer Esiason only because he was so unique as a lefty. And that's Icky Woods, Boomer Esiason.
I'm going Anthony Munoz.
You're right. Anthony Munoz or Boomer Esiason. Anthony Munoz. God, but it's not as. Yeah. There is no wrong answer there. Hard not to go with Anthony Munoz also.
But you're going Boomer?
I'm going to go with Boomer Esiason.
You're going quarterback?
Yeah.
You get quarterback bias, you know?
I don't have quarterback bias. I just think of things that immediately pop into my mind. I want to be honest. I want to be honest of the first ones that come into my mind, not try to decipher what makes everybody happy.
And that's it right there. That is it.
And for me, Child Please.
Chad.
It's Ocho Cinco.
That's a good one.
That's my whole childhood growing up. He was the Bengals.
That's a good one.
That's good. That's real not good a bad one there. I think of Anthony Munoz, and I think of also mangled fingers.
Yeah.
Just mangled fingers of the offensive line. Now, this is a tough one. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
It's the Steelers.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'll go first because this one comes into my brain instantaneously for that, and I can't explain why or what it's Mean Joe Green. That's the one that comes into my brain so quickly because I loved the nickname
Mr.
and
Green.
I just everything about it.
You want a Coke?
Yeah. His name is Mean Joe Green, but there are so many good ones here. You can't be wrong.
Like, this is really hard because you've got Terry Bradshaw, Mean Joe Green. You got Franco Harris just for the impact of the games that he played there. Lynn Swann is an all-time great. I don't know why, but another Green popped into my head during this as well, in Kevin Green. But when I think of the Pittsburgh Steelers and the greatest player, it's because of my childhood, and he was there throughout it. Jerome Bettis, the bus. Ooh, he was a Steeler through and through, man, in my mind. His entire career, one team. Won the Super Bowl in his hometown and rode off into the sunset.
Yeah.
And it would be hard to do it based on one play, but I think Steelers, and I kind of immediately think Franco Harris.
Franco. No.
That's not
about where my mind goes.
See, this is a...
Not Ben Roethlisberger anywhere near... Ben Roethlisberger or Terry Bradshaw. Which one are you taking?
As the all-time, it's Terry, just because of the amount of titles he won. Yeah, 4-0.
Yeah.
The other guy who I was thinking earlier, kind of sneaky, could be Mr. Steeler. Hines Ward was there forever.
Yeah, Mr. Steeler, too. Although, with Troy Polamalu?
Yeah, that too.
A little inside track on Hines Ward a little bit.
Oh, show.
Not liked a lot.
Oh.
Not liked a lot, only for the sake of, not off the field, but that dude was a dirty player.
Yeah, people thought he was a cheap shot artist.
Well, no, not thought it. He was.
Yeah.
He was. Not really liked against, but respected as a competitor. It's kind of on the Bill Romanowski side, but just not. Hines Ward's a great dude. But just played a little bit, played on the edge.
Played on that edge. Oh, yeah. Bus started with the Rams.
Yeah, he was Notre Damer. Golden Domer. Started with the Rams.
And then Pittsburgh. But just like Pittsburgh and Jerome Bettis, man. Gosh, those guys. Jack Lambert also coming in on the text
teeth. Side. Just no teeth hanging out.
Just
big old neck collar. Big old circle of horseshoe collar.
Yeah. Man. Went to college with his grandson.
Was he tough?
No. I don't know.
Bad genetics.
I don't know if he was or not. He was only there for a year. All right. Text coming in at 503-250-1080. We do have some Terry Bradshaw coming in. P1 Mohawk has got Bradshaw on his list. And I think it's amazing that the Bengals are such a tough one for people.
Well, they're it's the Bengals.
Doesn't that tell you a lot about the Cincinnati Bengals?
Yeah, they don't produce a lot of historical talent because their owner sucks.
Oh, man. And what about this one? Jonathan Ogden.
Oh, J.O. is such a great dude. He is so and gifted athlete, is excellent golfer, one of the funnest dudes you've ever been around. Funnest, not a word. Is it?
No, go ahead. Do
not
it.
Not a word.
Make it
Put
a word.
Put it out there.
Make it a word.
J.O. is such a pleasure to be around. I couldn't be around him more.
That's a drop.
He's an enlightening smile. Everything about him. And he's funny. He is. His smile is infectious. And he's a damn good player. Hall of Famer.
All right, no wrong answers, guys. You guys are sending in some good ones. Munoz, Ray Lewis, Mean Joe Green, Jim Brown. This conference was the easiest, according to Deal. You know what this conference also has? Some pretty badass dudes, top to bottom. Think of that.
Well, it's a tough division. You got to be tough to play in that division. It's called the Black and Blue Division for a reason. Tough.
Ooh. When it's all said and done, we'll go through and we will go with these. We'll try to pick the softest division. Because the AFC North has got to be the toughest.
Which By the way, did anyone say Jack Lambert? Because I think
we mentioned him. Yeah,
we did.
Okay. Yeah, yep.
Oh, all right.
Welcome to the conversation, Buck.
It's obvious what the softest division is.
What's that?
The softest division?
Yeah.
The AFC West.
The AFC West will have the softest
division.
Well, my list had... Well, we had Derek Thomas, And I had Junior Seau on my list. Those guys are pretty tough.
Are we talking about who we picked or just the division in general?
No, yeah. When we go through our list of goats, we'll go back and we'll be like, all right, which one is the softest? And we'll go down that
way. That's dumb because they're all those are Hall of Famers. They're not soft.
Makes it tough.
I thought we were talking about the perception of the divisions
I'm gonna
are.
I'm going to force you to have the opinion here, bro.
No, that's dumb.
Why is the AFC South or AFC West considered soft?
Why are they considered soft?
Yeah.
Because they're on the West.
What about the NFC?
They're all soft.
What about the NFC South?
NFC is not soft. They're not soft.
Oh. You have a little bias. The AFC-NFC bias. I didn't know that there was a bias there.
Well, I played the majority of my years in the NFC, so I still lean very hard.
Is there
hard
a lot of pride
NFC.
In that in the NFL?
Yeah, there
NFL
is. There's a little bit of that.
Oh.
You were a little bit of that.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, man. The AFC, plus the AFC has a lot of warm colors, and on TV it just looks warmer, and it's it. But the NFC is crisp and sharp, and it's electric, and it's got more intensity to it. The AFC just they were Super Bowl champs, so tip of the cap, Kansas City.
Probably the worst take in golf, well, maybe even in sports. Came from Brandel Chamblee. Hear what he had to say after Buck with SportsCenter. Get on up like a sex machine. Get on up. Get up. Get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up like a sex machine. All right, it's 8:34. Dusty Hare, Cam Cleland, what ya? Tiger Woods announced he's coming back. He will be at the Memorial next week. Jack's tourney, baby. And he's had some great success. I think he's won it, five times the Memorial? The last one coming back in 2012 for Tiger Woods. Boy, he is, if you look at his wins list, like winning the same tournament five times, that's probably number one for a lot of golfers, you know? For Tiger Woods, that is tied for fifth on his list of the most won tournaments. He's won the Bridgestone eight times, the Arnold Palmer eight times, Farmers and WGC Mexico each seven times. And then he's tied for five at Jack's tourney and the Masters.
He's good at winning.
That's not bad. Not bad for Tiger Woods. He is really good at winning. That's why on the Subpar podcast, I was stunned when I heard Brandel Chamblee talk about his take on Tiger Woods being an underachiever.
I would argue that he's got the least out of his talent of any player maybe in history.
That's right. Yeah.
No, and I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, not only do I stand by it, I mean, I there's math involved in that. Mm-hmm. You know, if you extrapolate from his win percentage when he decided to change his golf swing from 97 to when he started winning in 99, do the same thing in 2003, 2005, and then do the same thing yet again from 2010 to 2012, and you start to look at the majors that he would have won then, I can't think of another player in the world that you could have so definitively said left 10 majors minimum on the table.
What?
Well, I think I understand what he's saying. I don't disagree with what he said. He left a lot of majors. He left a lot of majors on the table, but I don't think it was because of... I don't think it was because of his golf swing. It was because his body failed physically, because during that time in that stretch, he was doing some soul searching, went through a terrible time emotionally with his family. And of course he did his thing. You know, he an interesting relationship with his ex-wife, Elin, but his body failed because he spent more time wanting to be a Green Beret than he was. He lost his fight. Some guys lose their fight.
Well, his body let him down because, one, he was changing the game of golf and the way that golfers looked. Very similar to what Bryson DeChambeau is doing. And you look on the tour now, guys look way different than they did when Tiger first arrived. And then his swing, he changed his swing so often because it was a violent swing and it just wasn't holding up. You know, like his body, there's a lot of wear and tear on it.
No,
and
that's
underachieving. Well, I'm not talking about the first one. I'm talking about the one after the Tiger Slam, where he even said it, that he was having a lot of injuries because of the force on his body that his swing had.
Well, he changed his swing because he just has always been that way. He's just the type of person that just when you get to the point you want to start, how do I get better? How do I optimize? How do I, he's very tactical and analytical and hyper intensive. So that's a person that's never, I mean, Jack, you look at Jack Nicklaus, he just never changed anything. Ben Hogan, they never changed it. And Ben Hogan was kind of along the same way. But all those guys, even Arnie swung his swing, he never changed. He never deviated off the path. And like John Daly, I'm not going to deviate. He's not going to do that. I don't disagree with Brandel Chamblee saying that Tiger left a lot of majors on the table. I agree with that. He could easily have 30 right now if he would have been healthy and in a different space.
But isn't that kind of out of his control, health? I mean,
no,
that's
it's
not
100%
leaving
in your control. What are you talking what? About? Your health? Like,
tearing, ripping up his knee and his back injuries?
Dude, he said one of his biggest regrets was he would run 10 miles a day and destroy his body. He right? absolutely had control of his health and his body. He decided to push it past the point of what he thought was that nobody was telling him to do that. Nobody's telling him to do Green Beret training and lift weights like you're doing that. And put it, anybody with an understanding that all these CrossFit dudes that are doing all this CrossFit stuff, tell me what they look like when they're 50 and 60. They're going to have joint replacements. They're going to have your body. Everybody wants to get big and physical and strong. Well, it's going to take a toll on your joints. Ligaments aren't getting thicker. Okay, and bones aren't getting stronger. Okay, but muscles are massive and all this stuff. So that's why failure rates with UCLs and all these things are happening is that we'll maximize that small amount of time. And I'm all for it. That's why I say Brandel Chamblee could be right. With Bryson DeChambeau, you want to go 4 years in and win a bunch of majors in 4 years and make a bunch of money? Do it. Do it. But prepare for the repercussions. And we do it in all these sports now. Have a small window. Thing about golf is, you could play for 25 years, 30 years. Nobody has that kind of longevity in sports. To ask a guy to be good for 20 years, ask a guy to be good for 5 years. Heck, ask a guy to be good for 2 years in any other sport.
I look at it in these terms, though, is it's so hard to tell an athlete to turn it off when what he was doing in that training that he did got him to the level that he was at. It got him to that. He had a lot of God-given golf talent, and we all know that because of the way he came up and when he first got on tour, he started winning. But he took it to another level, and he started training. And I think it's really hard to tell an athlete just to turn it off and be like, hey, you know, your body's going to shut down, when what got you to the level of being the best golfer in the world and probably ever to do it was that training that you did.
Yeah, I just look at it as he's the greatest golfer that's ever stepped foot on this planet.
Well, and
it doesn't really matter what he did.
Apparently, the biggest underachiever too. Well, according to Brandel Chamblee.
Yeah, I mean, I understand his point. I'm not a big fan of Brandel, the things he says all the time, but I don't think he's wrong when he says that if he would have probably focused not so much on being obsessed on his body, that he could have had some more health to be able to win a U.S. Open with no ACL and a back. That's ludicrous what he was able to do.
He did. He was
versus
amazing.
Rocco Mediate. That's still the greatest U.S. Open I've ever seen.
And then come back last year and win the Masters last year.
Yeah.
You know, he might not be done. But quite the take from Brandel Chamblee there. Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, Madden ratings are out for the rookie quarterbacks. See what Justin Herbert got. And a legend is moving on. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. See this report that Kirk Herbstreit could do double duty Saturday night game of the week on ABC and Monday Night Football because ESPN can't really find anybody to do Monday Night Football.
Yeah, that's...
How's that going to fly?
No, ESPN made quite a few changes in their radio programs. I saw that is going away. I'm going to miss Mike Golic, but if you're going to tremendously, I thought he changed the way radio is for athletes, and I'm going to miss him tremendously. Senior, that's for sure. But to put Kirk Herbstreit and all these other, I mean, ESPN is going through a major deal there with a lot of their shifts and adjustments to what they are and what they want to be. So this, to me, I always think of Kirk Herbstreit as a college football analyst and a guy that is the best in the business for what he does. I don't know. I have no idea. Herbie can't be excited about that. I can't imagine him being able to be great at that, to be able to put in the kind of work it's to be good at college football and the analyst side and the study it takes, and then to try to combat that with NFL. It's a completely different animal in the NFL. Everyone thinks it's similar. It's not.
Well, and the other thing too is it's kind of double dip duty from just like the TV responsibility standpoint. Most of these guys who have done Monday Night Football, they spend like half a week there interviewing those teams, the coaches, the players, personnel, anything significant storyline wise. And if he's doing a game Saturday in, I don't know, let's say South Bend, and then he's got to do Monday Night Football in Los Angeles.
Burn him out.
What's he doing? Can he be talking to the Chargers on a Wednesday if he's doing their Monday night game? How does that work?
Well, everything goes Zoom calls now, man.
And you can't be good at it. And that's the thing is, he has talent to be able to call the game as he sees it. But anybody that's ever called sports or looked at it or done it from a broadcasting standpoint at that kind of level, the amount of time you have to invest to get to know those storylines and the players and to be able to recall it on an instant within the average response for a color guy, because that's really what he would be, the average response is less than 4 to 5 seconds. So how it's beyond incomprehensible for how good he could be during that, other than just be like, hey, oh, good play.
I have faith he could do a decent job.
Oh, of course he'd do a decent. No, no question. That's not the question.
But it would just be a burnout for him.
Yeah.
And it's more staggering to hear that they haven't figured out a plan yet. Like they don't have a plan for Monday Night Football, which is one of their biggest assets that they have on ESPN, period.
Well, it's not an asset anymore. It's already been proven.
Well,
it's just not an
they're
asset.
Improving the games, though, and we found that with the schedule release that the NFL's trying to throw them a bone and say, we kind of have been giving all the good games to Sunday Night Football. Hey, ESPN, we know it's important to you. And so the NFL did their part. Now ESPN's like, we don't have anybody to do these games. And that, to me,
Well, they're cost-cutting. ESPN's cost-cutting. Oh, yeah. They're doing. I mean, everybody is doing that in the sports business. If there's no sports and there's no reason to pay people the kind of money like a John Gruden was getting and all those things, they're making Mike Greenberg now. He's doing double duty. He's going from hosting afternoon radio. They're cutting. They're doing all the things because this is what the sports business has to do. If there is no revenue, everybody's going to have to take it back. So it's kind of everything in.
Mentioned that Mike Golic is out on ESPN Radio. 20 years is the morning host.
Yeah, he and Wingo.
Golic and Wingo has been canceled. They'll be replaced by Keyshawn Johnson and Jay Williams, starting a new morning show.
And then there's
there's
one more that one at the SportsCenter anchor.
Yeah, Zubin.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
He'll be on the show. His role hasn't been defined on the show yet.
I think he's the host.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of things. Like, could be hosting, but he also could be I don't know. Remember what they did
I wouldn't imagine Jay Williams would be a host, but...
Remember what they did with... what's the guy? The guy who sat in this morning, Fitz.
Yeah, Jason Fitz.
Jason Fitz.
Yep.
Where he was like the fourth wheel, I guess, on Golic and Wingo when it started. Yep. Yeah, I've seen that both of those, but Zubin could be the host. Keyshawn has been hosting a radio show in L.A. for years now, and so that may be what they're doing. But Jay Williams, Keyshawn, going to be part of that new ESPN National from, 6 to 9 a.m. here local time? Or not 6 to 9, 3 to 6 a.m.
Boy, I'm going to miss the big fella. For those guys that never was with that, I've been a monster fan of
just
Mike
a jolly
Golic.
Guy.
Well, not just that. He just is insightful. He's funny. Yeah. He's the down-to-earth individual that you do. And he and Greeny were the ones that led it for years with Mike. And then, of course, that broke up. I mean, there's no real rumors about what it... They just fell out of love with each other. I mean, they weren't talking to each other. And then the reports are that Golic wanted to work with him in the afternoon or do some afternoon. And Green's like, no, I don't want to do that. I'll do it by myself. So is there bad blood between the two? It happens. It's natural sometimes. You know what? Sometimes marriages don't work. And that's one that worked for a long time. It's kind of like Mike and the Mad Dog, man. Those guys worked for years. Mm-hmm. Do they love each other? Probably not.
No, they don't. That's what the 30 for
probably
30.
Probably not.
That's what the 30 for 30 taught us, you know?
So do you have respect or work for each other?
Yeah.
Sure, and work towards a goal. But Golic is the staple and the blueprint for all of us former athletes that wanted to get into sports radio.
Absolutely. Golic is a legend, man. Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer for a reason. Radio Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And we also have Madden ratings that are out today for the rookie quarterbacks. Should be no surprise, Joe Burrow getting the highest rating of all the rookie
Never thrown a ball in the NFL, but he's the highest rating.
No, for a rookie.
No, I know.
He's the number one overall pick. Of course he should be.
Really?
86 throw power, 88 short throw accuracy, 85 deep throw accuracy. Mm. How's that add up to 76?
I don't know.
He must have a zero awareness. Tua has got a 73 overall rating, and then Justin Herbert, a 70, where they gave him a cannon, but yep. His accuracy not very high.
All right.
Except for on short throws. Yeah. So as they win in the draft is as they go in the Madden ratings.
Wow. Way to go out on a limb, Madden guys.
Way to get ready for Joe Burrow, 76 overall. You know,
who's Joe Burrow going to throw to? AJ Green, yeah. If he still wants to be there?
Well, he does want to be there. He said he loves Joe Burrow.
Okay.
What?
AJ Green does not want to be in Cincinnati. Do not fall for the banana in the tailpipe with this one.
Well, why don't we just believe what he said, that he's looking forward to working with him? He can throw to T. Higgins, who they drafted. Remember that? Huh? Sure. T. Higgins.
Why? Is John Ross still hanging around out there, hopefully healthy?
T. Higgins. No.
John Ross is gone?
Isn't he on another team now?
I don't know.
No? No. He's listed as A.J. Green's backup here.
Yeah.
Just brought up their draft, their depth chart. He's a backup to A.J. Green. Their starting receivers are A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, and T. Higgins, according to this. They got speed. I don't know. I don't know much about him. But, yeah, I don't know who he's throwing to outside of A.J. Green and T. Higgins. Maybe Joe Mixon out of the backfield.
Is Tyler Eifert now officially healthy? He struggled the last few years with health, man. I feel for that, man. Just right in my heart.
He's on a different team, according to their depth chart.
Oh, that's right. He did.
Yeah. He gone. Did he go to Carolina?
No.
Huh.
I thought it might be this guy. Their tight end, CJ Uzoma, is their guy.
Who's that?
Well, I don't know. His name's CJ Uzoma. Uzoma? Uzoma. Yeah.
Jags. Uzoma. Eifert went to the Jags to play with Gardner Minshew.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's some brutal injuries over his short career, albeit very short career. But when he's healthy, man, is he good. He is so good. Eifert is when healthy being the big caveat to that one. So there's your Madden ratings. And now ESPN, according to Darren Revelle, will spend 5 days unveiling Madden ratings on television.
Exciting.
What are you going to do for 5 days, man?
What do you mean?
What are you going to do for 5 days of unveiling Madden ratings? How do you make that into 5 days of content? You're going to talk about
how many total players are there in the NFL?
I mean, these guys will get fired. Remember how fired up they were last year if their Madden rating wasn't right? Remember, I was like, I'm going to show these guys.
Ooh, you do a lot of the angry interviews.
Angry interviews.
I like that.
I can't believe my Madden rating. It's BS. Not right.
Throw the fits in there. All right. Up next, we got the Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague, 3 to 7, Primetime with Isaac and Souk. And then after that, you've got the Recruiting Show with Andrew Nemec, 7 to 8 p.m. Tomorrow, we will have our weekend, Would You Rather, as always, in a Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you Friday right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.